Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
Welcome to this edition of World Weekly. I'm Gideon Rachman. This week, we look at the World Cup and the political tensions surrounding it. Something like half the world's population is expected to watch the football in Brazil, or at least some of it. But the run-up to the tournament has been troubled by demonstrations in Brazil and all too familiar allegations of corruption at the top of FIFA, which organises the tournament. Joining me to discuss the state of the World Cup are, on the line from Sao Paulo, our bureau chief there, Joe Leahy, and here in the studio, Roger Blitz and Jean-Paul Rathbone, our Latin America editor. Joe first. I mean, we've heard all these reports for months now about Brazil not being prepared, about demonstrations on the streets. We're now a day away from the opening ceremony. How do things feel now?
It's actually strangely quiet here in Sao Paulo, Gideon, at the moment. We had a metro strike earlier this week, in which we saw riot police used against the metro workers to break the strike. And they're meeting today to decide whether they'll continue or whether they'll start the strike again. And they threatened to actually start it again tomorrow, which, of course, wouldn't be very good timing. Other than that, it's actually strangely quiet.
And generally, though, is Brazil prepared? I mean, are the stadiums finished? Is the transport infrastructure in place?
Well, the stadiums are all there. Six or seven aren't really finished per se, but they're ready to be used. There was a report yesterday that in quite a few of them, the actual turf is not ready. Apparently, the stadiums hadn't been turning on the lights at night so that the grass and the turf could photosynthesize correctly. So we could see some deterioration as the tournament goes on. So in that aspect, you know, the stadiums are there. A lot of the public transport that was promised hasn't been delivered. So we're seeing in Sao Paulo in particular a lot of congestion and traffic jams in the lead up to the event tomorrow. But on the whole, it seems as though everything's in place. So I think we will have a World Cup.
Well, that's good news. And Roger, I mean, it strikes me that one does kind of hear all these scare stories more or less before any big sporting event. I mean, I remember London 2012 had a near breakdown in the run up, you know, would everything be fixed? And South Africa, similarly, the last World Cup, and they do tend to kind of happen in the end, don't they?
Yes, although Sepp Blatter, the FIFA president, is on record as saying this is the worst prepared World Cup. And FIFA have gone into Brazil very much with fingers crossed, just hoping against hope, really, that they do actually get to the end of the tournament in one piece. It's too big a country for FIFA to have a grip on the infrastructure and logistical issues, and they just do have to rely on the organising committee on the ground. And I just think they lost confidence a long time ago. They've tried to knock heads together and get it there. And they have been talking a little bit more optimistically in the run-up to the tournament about how things were improving. But frankly, what they were talking about was that the stadia were going to be ready. I mean, that's just that was something
kind of pretty minimal requirement, really.
Exactly. And therefore, all the other stuff, all the ancillary stuff is up for grabs. It's open to whether that's going to be good enough.
John Paul, I mean, Roger mentions FIFA, and I gather one of the slogan of the demonstrators has been that, well, if we're going to have FIFA standard stadiums, why can't we have FIFA standard hospitals or schools? And the Brazilian apparent backlash against the World Cup and all the spending associated with it has been one of the surprises of the run-up to the football, hasn't it?
Well, it was sparked last year when there were these huge riots, 1 million people taking to the street in protest about shoddy services. And Dilma Rousseff was on television earlier this week saying, well, we're spending $14 billion on football stadium, which incidentally is four times the amount spent in South Africa, which was the previous record. But this is dwarfed by our spending on health and education, which is the kind of finessing that goes over the heads, I think, of most Brazilians. Yes, it may be true, but nonetheless, when everything else is so difficult in Brazil, from catching a bus to going to the doctor to filling out a tax return, to be spending money on FIFA standard stadium seems often like a waste of money, or at least misallocation. And polls seem to show that Dilma Rousseff's approval rating continues to drift gently downwards.
So, Joe, I mean, give us a sense. I mean, how broadly do you think that sentiment is in Brazil? Because, of course, FIFA marketed and perhaps believed themselves this notion that this is the nation that loves football more than any other. They'll absolutely embrace the World Cup. Is there a general sense of kind of faintly jaundiced approach to the World Cup in Brazil?
Yeah, I think commentators here, they try to separate these two things, Brazilians and the World Cup, and Brazilians and their attitude to hosting the World Cup. And I think Brazilians are still, they love the World Cup. You know, they love football. There's no doubt about that. And already people are talking about, you know, meeting tomorrow to where they're going to meet. And, you know, there'll probably be very few people in the offices tomorrow afternoon. The problem that they have is with this whole idea of actually hosting it and the way that this has happened. And as JP pointed out, in 2007, when the event was awarded to Brazil, the government thought Brazilians would be overjoyed, and they were at the time, but no one counted on this enormous expenditure that would be involved. And, you know, with the economy slowing down now, I think Brazilians are really starting to think about the cost.
John Paul, I suppose part of the problem is that when Brazil was actually awarded the World Cup and then shortly afterwards the Olympics, it was regarded as one of the great international success stories. The economy was doing very well. Its leader was Lula, who was very popular around the world. And things have changed a bit now.
Well, what a moment it was in 2007, a peak of Lulaphoria when Lula won the hosting rights for the World Cup. And then again in 2009, when he won the hosting rights for the Olympics in 2016, Lula sort of cried almost tearfully. This was a sign that Brazil is now a first-class country. But it was at the peak of the commodity price boom now, and this model is sort of running out of steam. So what had seemed like a good idea then, in fact a sort of sure bet, now looks less well aligned.
And Joe, just a last word on this whole question of the internal situation of Brazil. I mean, the presidential elections coming up this year. Do you think, you know, most politicians would think holding the World Cup just ahead of presidential elections would be great preparation and a great way of warming the electorate up? Do you think there's a real danger it'll backfire for President Rousseff?
I think there is a real danger it could backfire on her, because Brazilians are watching this carefully to see whether or not it'll come off smoothly. If the organisation of the World Cup does not go well and Brazilians are embarrassed in the eyes of the world, I think this will cost Dilma dearly. I think one thing about the World Cup that the government didn't calculate was that it actually plays to the weaknesses of Brazil. It shows up the Brazilian government's difficulties with implementing and executing. And I think this is one thing that Dilma will be aware of.
Now, Brazil's got its troubles, and FIFA's been highlighting them as it demands FIFA-standard stadiums and complains all the time. But, Roger, of course, FIFA itself is a pretty troubled organisation. They always seem to be surrounded by scandal, but is this any worse than others?
I suppose it's an accumulation of not just scandals, but also problems with the organisation. Just as Joe was saying, it will be reflect badly on Dilma. I mean, if it's a bad organisation World Cup, it will be very difficult for FIFA to pass the blame on to Brazil. They will also suffer from that. And that's one of the things that is being watched closely by Sepp Blatter's rivals, particularly Michel Platini, the UEFA president, who's thinking of running against him next year. But above all these corruption scandals, which seem to come around all the time. And I think one of the reasons why they come around is because FIFA is inept in dealing with past corruption issues. They just took about a decade to deal with this great marketing scandal, which was around about 15 years ago. And they've only just, in the last couple of years, managed to put that away. And so this slow drip feed of corruptions just never go away, because FIFA never feels capable or willing to tackle them. Hence, when we get new ones, they become an accumulation of just one great big picture on corruption. It's quite hard to read whether the current corruption allegations really are a smoking gun as far as the Qatar 2022 bidding process is. But what it's done is feed into the narrative about FIFA being an organisation riddled with corruption. In actual fact, the executive committee who sit under Blatter, when that decision to vote for Qatar was taken, half of them are no longer there. They've actually been replaced. But their replacements are still unable to move the organisation on. And I think that is principally because of the man at the top.
I mean, I guess that although there, as we all know, there are allegations of corruption every time the World Cup is awarded to a different place, there was a kind of vision in place behind it that the World Cup was no longer going to be just a tournament played in first world European countries, Germany, etc., but you'd take it to the world and that you'd have it in South Africa, you'd have it in Brazil, you'd have it in Russia, and then eventually Qatar. But is that vision kind of backfiring now because Brazil looks so underprepared, plus there are these allegations of corruption?
Oh, spectacularly so, and not just for FIFA, but I think the International Olympic Committee have thought about this idea of spreading it to developing countries and are now thinking, well, actually, we'd rather have a safe and secure Olympics. And I think it's reviewing the whole question about whether the logistics and the infrastructure and the cost, which Brazil, as JP rightly points out, is just ridiculously high, whether all this actually is worth it. And I think the benefit to the organizer in FIFA's case, it, as far as the Brazil 2014 tournament, has been lost altogether. It is, as JP and Joe have been saying, it's doubtful whether Brazil will really come through this worthwhile. And it's just making people think, you know, let us have a bidding process almost to so that the highest bidder does win. I think it's changing the debate about that.
And Joe, I mean, it strikes me that even if the Brazilians kind of stumble through the World Cup and it all turns out okay in the long run, they then got to turn around and stage the Olympics. I mean, what a nightmare.
Yeah, that's turning out to be, I think, a huge miscalculation on the part of Lula and the PT Workers' Party, you know, to try and do two hugely ambitious events, one after the other, which I think hasn't been done in history before by any country, if I'm not mistaken. And as I said earlier, these are two events that really play to Brazil's weaknesses, so it's looking like a little bit of an error, to put it mildly.
OK, well, look, that's enough gloom and doom. I mean, nonetheless, I think we're all looking forward to the football. So I'll end by switching to the key subject, which is the football. So just who's going to win? Joe, who do you think, who's your money on?
Well, I'm going for Brazil, Gideon. I think, you know, the home team advantage. I read a, you know, Simon Cooper's piece saying that there's four reasons why Brazil won't win, but still, Brazil's my team.
And Roger?
Spain. I think Spain have still got a beautiful team. And remember, they reached the final of the Confederations Cup last year. And the best thing that happened to them was that they absolutely got trounced by Brazil in that final. So they know what they've done wrong playing in Brazil, and they know how to put it right. They've had a year to put it right. And frankly, they are just far and away the most talented team out there.
JP? Well, if Simon Kupner's right that Brazil isn't the country to go for, then that would put the second-place team, Argentina, in there with a spitting chance, and that'll be a quite a final, Argentina-Brazil, age-old rivalry.
Yeah, well, you're all wrong. It's going to be England. Okay, and with that, on that final hopeful note, I will end the World Cup. Well, the World Cup's beginning. I'll end this edition of World Weekly. Thank you very much to John Paul Rathbone here in the studio, also to Roger Blitz in London, and to Joe Leahy in Brazil. That's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.